We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary. See your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
Running the option on first down. Hagan has it. He has Rome. He's got one man to beat. Now he pitches to Flanagan, and he may take it all the way. Flanagan's in for the touchdown.
McKinley Wright from the logo.
Oh,
got it! Oh, McKinley Wright.
Breaks a tackle. Touchdown. Touchdown. That's five for Chris Brown.
The defense of Tomlinson.
Welcome into the DNVR Buffs podcast presented by the Colorado XOs. I'm Henry Chisholm, and today is another long day. It's Friday. Buffs play tomorrow. What time? It's 12:49 right now. So that means we'd be 24 hours away from being early in the third quarter, probably. Yeah, something like that. Feels kind of weird, though, because that is an early kickoff. A little bit behind on things this week because there's so many things to do. This is actually, this is the Wednesday podcast, but Wednesday was busy and Thursday was busy and I didn't have an extra hour. And so, it's Friday and here's the podcast. So Wednesday podcast, that's where we're going through all the stuff we learned from media availability. And that's going to be the plan for today. Heard from Carl Durrell, Brady Russell, and Naeem Rodman at the Buffs press conference, and then had a chance to talk with, Chris Wilson, the defensive coordinator. He talked to all the reporters, and then I had a chance to talk with Christian Gonzalez and Robert Barnes on Wednesday. So all basically like sum up what all these guys had to say, all of my thoughts that go along with those. And then I will play the full interview with Robert Barnes here at the end of the podcast. So make sure you stay tuned for that. Same as always, it's recorded in a tunnel-like hallway where there's other interviews going on. I put my phone as close to these guys' mouths as I can. It gets weird if you get too close, though. So I'll mess with the audio, make it as best I can. But, you know, a little background noise. What else should I say? So, today at 4:30, we've got the, DNVR Buffs Live. I'll be talking with, Ryan Konigsberg. We're going to do a stock report, stock up, stock down after the Texas A&M game for a bunch of different guys. We're also going to, do like buy and sell the stock. Where's it going from here? And then also, talk about the key matchups, do that kind of stuff before the Minnesota game tomorrow. Like I said, that's 4:30 Mountain Time, live on YouTube, or it'll be in your podcast feed sometime tonight. I hope I don't have the hiccups. Yeah. And then actually right after that, I'm going on the like the Sirius XM Pac-12 network station. So there'll be some Buffs talk with Sean O'Connell and Jeff Schwartz. That'll be at 6 Mountain Time. Channel 373 if you have Sirius XM radio. So there's that as well. Tomorrow we'll be having a tailgate with all Buffs at the north end of Farron Field. Same spot as last time for those of you who are out there. There's going to be like some breakfast food. There's going to be a bunch of beers from Breckenridge. It's going to be a good time. That starts at 8:30. Don't need like RSVP or anything. Just come and drink some free beer that Breckenridge gives us. And then I guess the only other thing to plug after the game is it's technically DMVR Buffs After Dark, but when there's an 11 a.m. kickoff, the post-game show is not after dark. But that's going to be fun. Dev is coming to the game with me again, and we're going to be talking after the game all about it and hopefully about a pretty big win for the Buffs. Might as well keep plugging. Sunday morning at 9:30, we've got the tailgate, which is a lot of fun. If you missed last week's, you definitely missed out. This one's going to start with Andre spinning the Wheel of Darkness, which is what happens when everybody has like a big lock every week, like one thing they're sure is going to happen. Mine was the Broncos win by at least a dozen. He said the entire NFC South would get wins in week one. Well, he was wrong. He has to spin it. We're still figuring out what goes on the wheel, but it's not going to be fun stuff. And so tune in for that. Then I'll also be doing the Broncos post-game show on Sunday. And then the press conference Monday, and then media availability Tuesday, media availability Wednesday. We're in football season. And we're also 5 minutes into this podcast, and we haven't started yet. So let's do that now. There's some news here. Your Colorado rugby team has rebranded again, but this one is here to stay. This rugby club, composed of crossover athletes, ended their first season at 5-5. Pretty great for former athletes coming together for their first time and putting their skills to the test. If you haven't heard of the American Raptors, they are Rugby Town USA's newest rugby team. They take athletes who compete at the highest levels of their respective sports. And they include Taniela Tupou from the University of Washington. He played for the Seahawks and the Falcons and the Cardinals, and then like played in the AAF, played in the XFL. Now he's kind of a stud for the American Raptors. If you want to go to a game, there's good news. Those games are now free. You just head over to AmericanRaptors.com, grab your free ticket for the upcoming season. If you can't make it to the game, AmericanRaptors.com will also be streaming all of them. Make sure you tune to the DMVR Rugby podcast, DMVR Rugby on Twitter, all of that good stuff. Okay. Let's see. Where do we begin? So Carl is where we'll begin. So he spoke once this week. Like I said, there's actually going to be a press conference on Monday. So in the past, we've had media availabilities Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, with Tuesday being like the media luncheon, and that's where, you know, the TV reporters come and the Associated Press people come and that sort of stuff. And that's where Carl has like a big thing. They bring a couple other guys up to the podium. But then on Mondays and Wednesdays, you could request people and talk to them, usually assistant coaches, that sort of stuff. This year, the like NCAA mandated off day, the Buffs decided to put on Mondays. That was the day they wanted to have off of practice so that they could do things on Sundays. That meant, obviously, there's no practice to do interviews after, and the media interview period is still cut off after Wednesday. So now, though, there's a new change starting on Monday, which is that the press conference is going to be Monday. And then Tuesday, Wednesday is kind of open media availability. So it might just be Carl on those Mondays, but then we can request people and get assistant coaches, that sort of stuff. Which all of this basically means that I'm going to be able to do like one or two more interviews a week, which is great for me and great for you, especially for these Wednesday podcasts, even though today is Friday. And they're also just going to be even more full. And who knows? Maybe I can fit a second recorded interview in here. But we'll see. We'll see. That's the plan going forward. Like I said, though, we only heard from Carl once this week, whereas next week we'll probably hear from him Monday at the press conference and then on Wednesday again, which will be nice. Kind of a day to talk about the last game, a day to talk about the next game. Just works really well. Let's just run through these points. I took some pretty detailed notes, but he talked for, I think, 25 minutes, which, again, is something that happens when you have one media availability during the week. I asked about Lavonte Chenault. I mean, he said, yeah, there is a path for him to come back, and he does see his role, like his job, kind of being to rehabilitate some people who need that and to provide some structure, make sure that once they are done with football or college football in particular, whatever they do next, they're well equipped to do that. The situation with Lavonte is no different. And so that's the goal. They want him to come back. But he also said, we won't jeopardize how we run our program. And I don't blame him for that. You know, you can't be making exceptions for any reason. And there would be reasons to grant exceptions to Lavonte, but I mean, you just, there are rules, you can't break the rules. Kind of that simple. So there's the update there. Again, I don't anticipate him being back for, what's today? At least a month and a half or so. Let's see. Mustafa's back working out. He was practicing this week, mostly with the scout team. Again, it's going to be at least a couple more weeks before we get to see him on the field on game day. I think Brian Howell initially reported that he wouldn't be allowed to play before the USC game. We have gotten no update from anybody, and it doesn't sound like the coaching staff, anybody in the athletics department has really gotten the update either. Kind of waiting and seeing, but he obviously is just kind of working himself back into shape and getting ready to go. He was asked about the tough scheduling. Obviously it's a tricky start with, I mean, actually it's not, it's a tricky end. They end with 11 straight games against Power 5 teams after starting with Northern Colorado. But he said he liked it. And he thinks that it's valuable and he's excited to see more of it once the Alliance kicks in. On Minnesota, he said that stylistically they're similar to Texas A&M, with the difference kind of being that like there's just more space in the Texas A&M offense. And space was the word that Carl used, and I like that. But they really want to run the ball, and that's kind of what it's going to be all about. Terrence Lang, Chris Miller, they're practicing. Carl said he expects both of them to be good to go. Just little soft tissue things. The one with Chris Miller, you know, he said like at his position, you kind of need to be able to run at full speed, and he just wasn't quite there. And so we held him out a week. On Drew Carter, he said that Drew has a lot of potential and they want to get him some experience, but, you know, it just kind of takes time for him to get to the point where he's ready to go. He is making progress, though, and he's excited about the future. He's asked about the 11 a.m. kickoff, and he said that he really isn't worried about starting a game at 11 a.m., the reason being that it's a morning program, and they're typically in meetings by 7 in the morning and on the practice field an hour or two later. So it really shouldn't be tough for them to be ready to go at 11 a.m. And he did point out, you know, the Northern Colorado game, they're at the team hotel. And I think what he said was, you know, we were down at breakfast at 6:30 and there was a big chunk of the team that was already down there eating breakfast at 6:30. It's like, well, that's not what you want when you're still 12 hours away from kickoff time. And he almost thought that this would be better, but, also, Jarek is fine. Brendan Lewis is fine. Said Brendan needs to take more chances and he needs to trust his receivers more. It's good. It's great that he's doing so well taking care of the football, but he does need to start kind of anticipating things just a little bit more and probably taking more chances. Also with Cole Becker, obviously a pretty tough start to his career, but also, I mean, he missed a 53-yarder. He missed a 46-yarder, I think it was. And Carl said that they've actually started having him start with longer field goals in practice. So instead of saying, okay, hit the 25-yarder, move back to 30 and 35 and 40, instead it's like, okay, 50-yarder, go knock this in, because that's kind of how the game works. Is he's been ran out there, what, twice for field goals? They're both really long and after quite a while after the warm-ups. So that's a little new strategy there, and we'll see if it pays off. And I think that's basically it from Carl. See, that's why you listen to the podcast, because he talked for 25 minutes, and I'm pretty sure we just covered it all. We're only 13 minutes in. Plenty more to talk about. Before we do that, though, let me tell you again about Breckenridge Brewery. You know, I mentioned earlier that they give us a bunch of beers to do these tailgates. It's a great thing that they do. And they're partnered with CU, like the athletics department in particular. Not that, like, we don't love the university. I mean, personally, I have no feelings at all toward the university. It's the football team that people care about, and the basketball team, and soccer, and you know, the sports. But Breckenridge partners with them. We love that. And they make a bunch of really good drinks. I guess Sunday was the last time I've had alcohol. That was a bunch of beers from Breckenridge. On the tailgate, I think I had one of the... I definitely had a Strawberry Sky. I think I also had... I can't remember which one I had. Oh, the Summer Pilsner, a new one. That is really good. That actually is really good. I'm pretty particular about the beers I like. I like them nice and light and sweet, sometimes a little bit sour, definitely not all that dark. And I'll say this, the beers from Breckenridge are just consistently good. There's only like one or two where I'm like, okay, too dark for me, which is rare because a lot of beers are, but it's just good stuff. The seltzers are great too. You should definitely check those out. And again, they help us out. They help see you out. If you haven't tried them yet, come down to the tailgate tomorrow morning, 8:30. I'll be there. I'm actually going. We have that, like I said, the live thing is at 4:30. There's a bunch of beer at that bar for me to pick up and bring up to Boulder in the morning. Beer, bar, Boulder. A lot of B words. Brunch. Buffs. We can move. I am so football season is draining, let me tell you. Also, ball. Ball is awesome. They do a bunch of different things, from like aerospace to aluminum to also partnering with the Buffs and also partnering with, I don't know if it's technically a partnership with the Avs and Nuggets, but they do have the naming rights to the Pepsi Center, which, who owns that? I'm pretty sure that is owned by Kroenke. I don't know. Point is, definitely have something going on there. And obviously big into sports, big into Colorado, that's where they're from. And they have a 400-person plant in Golden where they create aluminum cans. If you're looking for a job, that's a great place to go. 100% score on from the Human Rights Campaign. See, yeah, we're not going to dig into the Human Rights Campaign, but sounds like a really good thing. Sounds like a really good thing. Ball made over 100 billion cans last year. Again, that blows my mind, but you guys know that. I've told you before. But yeah, if you're looking for a job, definitely check those guys out. It is you can do that by sending Golden to 77222 or going to jobs.ball.com and searching for Golden. Also, you know what? Let's do this right here. The DraftKings pick of the week. I told you about the Broncos last week. Hopefully you made some money. I made a lot of money. We're going with the parlay, which is a little bit bold, but the Broncos are only favored by 6 against Jacksonville, and Jacksonville really blows. I'm not sure if you've seen them or heard about them, but they are just terrible. So we're parlaying that with the Buffs. Actually, I haven't seen the latest odds. I think they're 2-point favorites still, but I think things that are wrong often. Looks like they are 2.5-point favorites. Oh, at -120. I mean, it makes sense. That is, it should be like 5-6-point favorites. It's kind of crazy it's only this. But yeah, you parlay those two things together, it gets you to +242. That means you bet $10, then you earn $24.20. And the payout is $34.20. That's how I always look at it. It's like I have this $10 in my hand. If I make the bet, it turns into $34.20 in my hand. I don't think anybody cares about that, though. Okay, we've got a lot to get through still. So let's keep chugging. Brady Russell, he mentioned something that I thought was interesting. And it's not something that I noticed. And as I've said before, I've watched this game 5 times now. And two of them were just like, I was working, so I had it on. It was kind of like, but 3 of them were intense. One of them was obviously in the stadium. But let's see. He said they were one guy away so many times from a big play, which was interesting to me because that isn't something that I noticed. But if I hadn't already watched this game 5 times, I would go back and watch again and see if that really was the case. But the way Brady put it was basically that there was just one guy who made a mistake, and if he hadn't made the mistake, big play, which is definitely interesting. But obviously something that's been talked about in meetings, something to think about going forward, and something I'm going to keep an eye on when you look back at some of these plays. I guess not even looking back as we're watching them. Point is, he said that there were some guys trying to do more than their job. That's not how it works. You just need everybody to do their job and everything's going to work out. He mentioned that the offensive line needs to do a better job protecting Brendan. It did catch me a little bit off guard. It did, and it shouldn't have, because I think that it's easy to look at what's happened in that passing game and say, like, okay, Brendan's not getting sacked. Brendan's finding opportunities to throw the ball. He's doing these things, but he's having to work really hard to do them. You know, if he wasn't so good moving around the pocket and getting out of the pocket and doing those sorts of things, then I think that it would be much more obvious that the offensive line has kind of struggled to protect him. And I like that Brady brought that up, because the other thing that he said was you need him to be able to look downfield. And if he's spending his time just looking at the rushers coming and getting around those rushers and finding a way out of the pocket, well, then he's not able to keep his eyes downfield and see guys coming open and get them the ball, which I thought was a really good point. And again, would it be nice if he was Russell Wilson, who can get away from rushers subconsciously while keeping his eyes downfield? Yeah. And I think that there's a real chance that's who he becomes a year or 2 years or 3 years from now. As of right now, though, he started 2 games, and you got to make things as easy as possible for him, and that does need to be an emphasis. Brady talked about how there's definitely more physical culture this year. Everybody wants to be out there hitting, and that's something that's kind of been instilled in them by this coaching staff. Chris Wilson talked about it too. And he said that, you know, it still isn't where it needs to be, but if you were just to look at the defensive line for Texas A&M and look at the offensive line for Colorado, you'd say, yeah, the A&M should be trampling these guys. But because they all have that mentality, because they all are kind of fighters who want to get up there and get into it, that closes that gap. And again, he did say it needs to get better there. It's still not where it needs to be, but that is a change from the last couple of years. And on top of that, I mean, just in general, everybody's working hard. Yeah, it's a tough loss and all that stuff, but there's really nothing you can do about that. Just go and work, and that's what he'd seen as of Tuesday. Obviously, it's been a couple days since then, but hopefully that continued. Jumping into Nyheim Rodman to close out this press conference. He said that after that win, or sorry, that loss, there's just little parts of it that feel a little bit better. He said guys are closer. And they're really trying to push each other. And the leaders have really stepped up and said, yeah, this is tough, but we need to reset and we need to keep building and we need to go win this game this week. He said that Minnesota's running backs are good at breaking tackles. They're tough to get down, and you need everybody going to the ball. And luckily, that's kind of what this defense is all about, is everybody charging at the ball carry and bringing him down and playing, as in his words, playing angry, because he says that's what that defense wants to be known for, is playing angry and being physical. And, you know, we've obviously seen that. Hit them before they hit us. Right now they're number 5 scoring defense in the country, and he says that isn't good enough. They want to get to number 1. That's the goal. That's it from Naeem. With Chris Wilson on Wednesday, you know, he was asked, like, is it nice to be able to just watch them have success after, like, kind of being excited about this defense for the offseason, knowing that you have these pieces? And he said he hasn't really been too excited about the defense. You know, instead he's just been kind of caught up in, you know, getting better and working and figuring out game plans and what pieces fit where and that kind of stuff, that there really hasn't been much time to be like, oh boy, this is going to be fun once we get there. It's just been work, which is, it's something I'm going to keep in mind. Said now they're still not, like, too excited. They're still just working on getting better, and that's the focus. On Texas A&M, said that, you know, part of the reason that he thinks they're able to compete is because of just kind of the approach that the team took, and the coaches in particular took. Now, he said, talk about controlling the controllables. We're not going to spend time just talking about Texas A&M, except for, you know, saying just accurate information that the team needs to know. He said that you can kind of get bogged down, and in his words, like, you don't want to instill our concerns in them, you know? So if you're saying things like, that right tackle, he's a tough guy to beat. It doesn't help the football team when you're in there saying things like that. And instead you just say, hey, they're strong here. You got to go around. You got to, and just facts. And then you go do what you need to do. I like it. He was really excited to get Mustafa back, which is what you'd expect. And I ran into Mustafa for a minute. He looked excited to be back too. It was just like a very quick walking by him interaction. But I said something like, oh, good to see you back. Something like that. And he, a big old smile. Mustafa does typically have a big old smile, though, so who's surprised? In terms of what Chris Wilson said, though, basically what you expect, you know, he's a leader. Still obviously things he can work on, and as of right now, he's on the scout team. He's excited to be on the scout team. He's the best scout team player we've got. Yeah, he said he still didn't know when he's going to be allowed to play, but just kind of wait and see and figure it out. Christian Gonzalez. I mean, he's thrilled about Christian Gonzalez, as you'd expect. Robert Barnes, too. Just saying he's really excited to actually get him out on the field and to watch him play after watching him practice and seeing him just be like a leader. It was good for him to be able to go out there and play and do all those sorts of things. On Gonzalez, though, just talking about the technique and the way that he's developed over the course of the last year. And he even said, you know, here's the quote. It's almost like having another coach on the field, which is big praise, you know, and that's not something I expected to hear about Christian Gonzalez at this point. I did expect him to say something like, you know, he's really seeing things well. He knows the routes before they're happening. He's sticking on guys, but almost like having a coach on the field is a big, big statement. And, you know, Christian's earned that. And we just got the captains for today, or for tomorrow, about an hour ago. And I think, Christian Gonzalez is one of them, as is Carson Wells. And offensively, it's Matt Lynch, which is an interesting one. What is that last one? Oh, Kari Cooch. There we go. So those are the four captains this week. The fact that Christian's among them, I mean, that says something. That absolutely says something. And it's so easy to look at and be like, well, he's a really young guy. It's weird that he's a captain. But there's another world where you look at it and say, hey, it's probably too early to say this. He needs to string together a couple more games like the one he just had. But if he does and keeps playing like he has, he might be somebody who leaves CU after next year to go to the NFL. That's what that performance yesterday was. And, you know, we've talked to Matt McChesney about this. And the first game everybody's going to look at, every scout is going to look at when they want to check out the Colorado Buffaloes, is going to be the Texas A&M game. And he made his way into a bunch of notebooks. And next year when it comes time for those guys to be like, okay, what is this guy? He's got a nice little start. But yeah, I mean, that's, if you look at it as he's technically a true freshman, you're like, weird that he's a captain. But if you kind of take the backwards approach and say he's a season and a half away from potentially leaving to go be a first round draft pick, then you're like, no, that does kind of add up. Again, getting ahead of yourself a little bit, he needs to continue to show that he's taking these steps. And, you know, he had some issues with penalties before, but he also had issues getting his head turned around to play the ball, and he is playing the ball like an absolute monster through 2 weeks. Sky is the limit. He has everything you'd want. He has the speed and the size and the length and a game under his belt against a top five opponent where he was absolutely dominant. Got the team off the field on at least three third downs, and there's probably more. I think that's it for Chris Wilson. Let's just jump straight into Christian Gonzalez after all that. He said, you know, we're not going to win every play, and we left some plays out there. We did play really well as a defense, though. And I actually asked him, like, you know, you in particular, like, got the team off the field on some third downs. How does that feel for you at this point in your career to be doing that? He said, hey, obviously it feels really great to make a play on third down, get the team off, but feels even better from a team perspective because we got team goals, and that's what the team wants to be known for, is getting off the field on third downs, and he's just kind of doing his part. He said that they've been having great practices, and he thinks that's been super beneficial. Coaches are giving them information that is useful, that they can use to be productive on the field. They know the reads. They know what plays are coming. He said, when you make plays in practice, you become confident on game day. He also, this is a great quote. We play man here, and we're not scared of anybody. That's pretty solid, and it does sum things up. They did play a lot of man last week. I think they will going forward because, I mean, look at their cornerbacks. And he did expand though. He said that, you know, it helps because we go up against some of the best receivers in the Pac-12 every single day in practice with Levante and Brendan and Dimitri and all them. So that's the way they're looking at it. You know, using the loss as fuel this week, they're probably going to use it as fuel the entire season. You know, they're not going to get negative about it, but they're ready to go. They're fired up and they want to go win a football game. Oh, and one more note. He said that the game has really slowed down for him because he's been able to see, you know, just the different tendencies that teams have and what routes they run out of what formations. And, you know, if you're sitting there and you know, hey, I think that based on the way they're lining up, this is either going to be a slant route or this is going to be just a straight go route. Well, pretty quickly you realize which one of those two it's going to be. Now, if you're wrong, you get in trouble, but luckily, he was not wrong last week, and we'll see if he's wrong going forward. I think that's it for Christian. And like I said, had a chance to talk with Robert Barnes as well. And instead of telling you about that one, I'll let you listen to that conversation for yourself, and that's going to wrap it up for today. Yeah, we hit all the notes earlier. Tune in for the live, tune in for the post game, tune in for the tailgate, tune in for the Broncos post game if you're a Broncos fan, and if you miss all that stuff, it's all, first of all, just saved on YouTube, and you can watch it whenever. But also, I'll see you on Monday for the next podcast. We'll be talking about the game. Hopefully it goes well. We'll see. Here's Robert Barnes.
You got to play.
Yeah.
How much fun was that?
It was so much fun. I was happy to be back out there with my guys, you know, dealing with a soft tissue injury that first week. But it was an exciting game, exciting environment. You know, I felt like us as a defense were just clicking and having fun out there. That's all we kept saying to each other. We were just having fun. So.
Where are you at health-wise now?
Good. 100%. 100% now.
What did you think of playing next to Nate?
It was awesome. I mean, we've always had that good chemistry. But, you know, being in that game and that environment, I feel like we clicked well. We were able to get adjustments together. And, you know, just him being able to have that speed type guy next to him that can go cover backs and he can kind of do his thing is important. So, I mean, it was a really fun experience. It was cool.
Yeah. You know, you did a couple different things. You were playing some man. I thought I saw you, like, running the middle in, like, a Tampa 2 type of thing.
Yep.
What is your best role, do you think? Where do you feel most confident?
I mean, honestly, wherever they want to put me at, I like to look at myself as, like, a Swiss Army knife type of guy that can, you know, do whatever they want me to do any type of week, any game plan that we have, just personnel wise, match up with their skill players, whatever they need me to do, play in the box, I can do it. So, you know, I feel like that gives me a lot of versatility and, you know, I go into the game with a lot of confidence, knowing I can trust my coverage skills, trust my playing in the box ability, and, you know, just being able to go out there and make plays.
Does the defense leave that game with more confidence after, I mean, you saw what happened, you know, hold them to 10 points, Isaiah Spiller picks up like 20 yards.
Yeah. I mean, I think we had a lot of confidence going in. I think that, you know, this defense has created an identity that you're not going to run the ball on us, and you're not going to throw it on us either. So I think
that's a good combination.
Yeah, our identity is just that physicality that, I mean, you're going to have to play four quarters to beat us. And, you know, I love the way that our guards are playing right now. I love how we're all clicking and we're all just staying in tune with all these different packages and personnels and stuff like that. And, you know, I think this defense has a lot of potential for this year. Good potential.
At the same time, you guys don't get the win in that game. Is there some hangover from just the emotions of going through all that?
No, I mean, I always like to look at it. It's a 24-hour rule. You know, you win or lose, you harp on it for 24 hours, and then Monday you're on to the next opponent. You know, I think we have a lot of stuff that we can build on and work on, and there's some plays we left out there on the field that would have given us the win. And, you know, I think that just propels us into this next week and into the season, just because, you know, we keep those. As a player, you have these small things, like if I would have did this, I would have made this play and this would have happened. So now when you see it again, it's automatic and you end up making that play and it'll be a different story, different outcome.
What's the challenge of playing this Minnesota offense?
You know, Minnesota's going to try to run the ball. They have a talented back. So, you know, it'll just be our job to get lined up, stop the run, and, you know, the good thing about our defense is we just got to do what we do well and do what we do right, and we won't have a problem. And just continue to play with that confidence and go out there and just continue to play well.